This Shabbos is the third Perek in Pirkei Avos. It begins with a statement of Hakabia ben Mahalalel. He was a Tana who lived as Man Habayis. The Mishnah in Adius, quoted in the Gemara in Brochus, tells that he had certain disagreements with the other Tanaim. One of them was a Shada that came up every day of the year, where the Dam Hayorek is Mintame Anisha. Anisha becomes Temeo Asur Labailo if she has a Riaz Dam. So is Dam only if it's Dam Odom? That's how we paskin only Odom or Shochar. Or is even Dam Hayorek? Yorek means brown or yellow. Some thought that Yorek means green. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that's a big joke. It means brown or yellow. Yorek Kikarsi is green. Yorek means brown or yellow. So this is a big chumra Akav ben Mahalal had. So the Mishnah says that he was such a big Talmid Chacham, such a big tzaddik. The other Tanaim wanted to appoint him to be the assistant chief rabbi. They used to have the Nasi and the Abdezin. The Gemara says in Chagiga that in Pirkei Avos it lists off all the Zugas. So the first name in the first Perek. So the first name that's always mentioned is the Nasi, the chief rabbi, and the second name is the assistant chief rabbi, the Abdezin. So they want to appoint him the Abdezin. But they can't have him the Abdezin if he continues to paskan halacha l'maisa. Dam Hayorek is metame. That's not the accepted opinion. It's an unbelievable chumrah. So they said, we'll appoint you, provided that you back out from your shita. So he said, how can I back out from my shita? Well, it's not politics. It's an issue of halacha. This is a tradition that he had from his rabbeim. That's the way they assumed the halacha is. He can't back out. It's not politics. He said, people will say, I backed out from my shita in order to get a position of grandeur, in order to be appointed assistant chief rabbi. You have to be intellectually honest. You have in the Gemara every so often, it's usually, I think, about Rava. Rava would get up in public and say that what I paskin yesterday was incorrect. V'am shamata b'fnechem, tosein b'yodi. So Rav Soloveitchik could point out that how Talmid Chacham has to be intellectually honest. That if he made a mistake, even though the people won't catch the mistake, he shouldn't cover up on the mistake. He has to admit that he made a mistake. Rav Soloveitchik told over his story about Rav Chaim, that when his grandfather Rav Chaim was appointed Ko-Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin with the Netziv, Rav Chaim married the granddaughter of the Netziv. This daughter of the Netziv was married to Rabbi Foel Shapiro, Rabbi Foel Volozhiner, who was Rosh Yeshiva also. And then his daughter married, Rabbi Foel Shapiro's daughter married Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So the Netziv appointed Rav Chaim Soloveitchik as a Rosh Yeshiva together with him and together with Rabbi Foel, his father-in-law. So people said that he was only appointed. People claimed that he wasn't really Roy to give a shir in Valoj, and he was only appointed because nepotism, because he married the Rosh Yeshiva's granddaughter. So they had a meeting of the board. The board of Valojin consisted of a group of musmochim, alumni of the yeshiva who had prominent positions in the rabbanis in Europe. So they came to Valojin to investigate. They called a meeting. They traveled specially to investigate. So they said, let him get up and give a shir, and they'll decide whether he's worthy to be a Rosh Yeshiva or not. So he got up, and he started saying a whole shir. And then in the middle of the shir, he realized that he was coming to explain a problematic Rambam. In the middle of the shir, he realized that there's another Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos that contradicts the explanation that he's giving. The listeners probably were not aware of this Pirush HaMishnayos LaRama. He could have gotten away with his Chiddush Petish Tikkun Torah, but he was honest. So he sat in the middle. This was the shir that was going to make or break him to determine whether he's worthy to be a Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin. So he said in the middle of the shir, he had what to say, but he just realized now that it's a mistake because it's a Pirush HaMishnayos that contradicts it. So he apologizes for wasting everybody's time, and he sat down. So the members of the board decided that if the man could be so honest to back out from the Shtikl Torah, that razzle-dazzle Shtikl Torah that he was going to say, because he knew a Pirush HaMishnayos that they didn't know, he's worthy of being the Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin. I remember in the middle of this whole tragic epidemic, Rabbi Perlow just passed away. It was already the Shloshim, I think. So he used to be the Rosh Yeshiva for a while. He was the head of the gave the high shir in Breuer's Beis Medrash. So they had, before Rabbi Perlo came, was Rabbi Naftali Friedler. So Rabbi Friedler used to give a shir on Shabbos afternoon for the parents of the boys who were learning in the yeshiva, in the high school and the post high school. So the fathers who wanted to learn along with their sons, so Rosh Yeshiva gave a shir. So when Rabbi Friedler left Gateshead, and they invited Rabbi Perlet to take over his position, so he took over that Shabbos Dikashir also. Also, the practice was that whoever was officially the Rosh Yeshiva in Breuer's Beis Medrash was the official rabbi in the Aguda Minyan. So I used to daven for a couple of years, I daven in the Aguda Minyan. Rabbi Perlet was the rabbi. So I remember once on a Shabbos morning, they were learning Parshas Hazino, and they found a mistake in the Sefer Torah in the Aguda. So they finished the Aliyah, they put away the Sefer Torah, took out another Sefer Torah, and then they were going to learn from that point to the end. So Rabbi Perlo remembered the Mishnah Berurah, so he said they should see if they can make seven Aliyahs from here to the end of the Seder. They should make seven Aliyahs. So they divided everything up, they made seven Aliyahs. So I didn't say anything at the time. But when we came back to Davin Mincha, they always Davin Mincha in the Aguda here in the neighborhood at 1:45. So when they came back to Davin Mincha, so before they said Ashrei, Rabbi Perla got up and he said, Dvar Shamarti, Toi Sein Biyadi. This morning I made a mistake that the Mishnah Berurah recommends that you should always try to squeeze in seven aliyahs in the new Sefer Torah from where you are till the end of the Sedra. That's only on any other Sedra other than Hazinu. But in Hazinu, the Gemara says you have to lay in Haziblach. You have to stop in specific places. You're not allowed to make Hoysofas. So that was, he was an honest person. I remember he used to say very pleasant shiurim. When he first came, he strained his vocal cords so much that the doctor told him that he's not allowed to talk for months and months. So he used to give the shiur in the middle of the week by writing on the blackboard. He wasn't allowed to talk. And by distributing sheets to the students. But the Shabbos afternoon shiur, he couldn't write on the blackboard. So he asked me to, for quite a few years, I was his official sub. I used to give the shiur on Shabbos afternoon. So the first year or two, maybe before a yontif, he would strain himself and he would give the shiur on Shabbos afternoon. But then for quite a few years, he wasn't even able, he was so busy with other things, he didn't even do that. We were shutzim in the Shabbos afternoon shiur. We used to visit him a lot when he lived here in the neighborhood. Anyway, so this Akavya ben Mahalalel, he was known for his honesty. He uses an expression, a person should realize three different things, venatabole de avera. So the third thing is listening, mi atos liten dim cheshban. After Elachamer es Mishana, everyone has to give a din v'cheshbon in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's famous, the commentaries say, why is it called din v'cheshbon? Shouldn't it be just the reverse? Shouldn't it be cheshbon v'din? First, they make a cheshbon, the person did so many mitzvahs, so many averis. Then you go basar roiv. So either he goes to Gan or he goes to Gan Eden, whatever the conclusion is going to be. But you don't have first a din, then a cheshbon. First have a cheshbon, then a din. So it's famous that some of the Mefarshim explain, they make a cheshbon, they give a din, but then every year, after the person died, they're still making a cheshbon. And the psak din is going to keep on changing. A person during his lifetime, a lot of times, he didn't give his children the right chinuch. So his children will not marry the way they should have. And they're not going to have observant grandchildren, or maybe he did give his children a wonderful chinuch, and his children will marry properly, and they'll be doing mitzvahs, and they'll raise their children properly. So even after the person already has a din now, the cheshbon keeps on going, and the psak din will keep on changing as the years go on. That's why there's a minhag that we treat the yortzeit as a yom hadin. We assume it's either a Yom HaDin for the Nifter, a Yom HaDin for the family, the fact that the person died on this day, so maybe that day is a Yom HaDin for him or for the family because they lost him. And maybe it'll be a Yom HaDin again for the individual or for the family. So that's why the minig used to be, the Bali Atayz had a minig that they would fast on a Yom HaDin, on a Yartzeit, and they would learn Mishnayos to be a Schus and so on. So that's what they comment on this expression. Din v'cheshbon. There's first a cheshbon, then a din, and then the cheshbon continues. So many years later, depending on how the effect of what he did during his lifetime will play out after he dies. Mishnah Gimel talks about the people shloshu shochel al shulchan achad v'le'amr olav divrei Torah. Eating is something that we share in common with the animals. I think there used to be Greek philosophers who would be embarrassed to eat in public, because to eat is like a behemoth, the behemoths eat. But we can elevate the eating to the level of a mitzvah. If you eat truma, if you eat kachim, if you eat matzah, if you eat marer, that's considered a mitzvah. The Gemara has a special din that only applies to a mitzvah achila. Osi dvar hashus u'mevatel dvar mitzvah. Let's say a person is eating matzah. On Pesach night, he's eating the kazais matzah, and at the same time he's chewing the matzah, he's chewing some chicken or some vegetables at the same time. So the Gemara has a din, osi dvar hashus u'mevatel dvar mitzvah. Eating is a dvar chulin, it's a dvar hashus. If you only eat the matzah, then you say a bracha before, and you have a mind of the shame mitzvah, then you elevate it to the level of a mitzvah. But if you eat a dvar hashus together with the dvar mitzvah, then the Gemara says you pull down the level of the dvar mitzvah, and you're not yotze, it's considered achila shel hashus. And that was the machlokes hatanoim, Hillel and the other chachamim, the other tanoim, is man habayis. If you eat Pesach matzah u'maror together, then you say, we treat all the mitzvahs as if they're in competition with each other. So if you eat maror together with matzah, otzi maror, u'mevatel tam matzah, otzi matzah, u'mevatel tam maror, the maror is considered dvar hashus vis-a-vis the matzah. The matzah is considered dvar hashus vis-a-vis the maror. They say, no, mitzvah the same about lezuzu. The only time there's a problem is if you eat a dvar hashus with a dvar mitzvah. But if you eat another dvar mitzvah together with the dvar mitzvah, they're all derei mitzvah, so that's okay. So that's what the Tanaim say. If a person is eating a regular meal, and he says derei Torah in the middle of the meal, he elevates the level of the meal to the level of a mitzvah. It's not that you're eating like the regular behemoth. The Rambam has a famous few halachas in Hilchos Deos, where he quotes the pasuk b'chol derachecha do'ehu, that a person can elevate any of the secular activities that he does to the level of a mitzvah. When he maintains chayi yishus with his wife, when he eats, when he sleeps, when he exercises, when he goes to work, these are divrei chol. But all of these, if the person has in mind, he wants to sleep in order to be healthy to do avodas Hashem. He wants to eat in order to be able to learn Torah. The Gemara says, famous Gemara in Merubah, one of the Chachamim said he didn't say the right answer last night when the students asked him a question because he hadn't yet eaten supper. When you eat delicious food and it gives you a kayach to think, and then you think in Divrei Torah, it comes out the eating of the food was a Hechshon mitzvah. It's not the Kiyama mitzvah. The mitzvah is to learn Torah. Mitzvah is to daven. But the eating and the going to work and chaye yishus and getting dressed and everything can be elevated to the level of a mitzvah. Just like Kohanim do avoided b'yamin, you have to, a kohen who's a lefty is puzzled to be makor karbonos in the Beis Hamikdash. Avoda has to be done with the right hand on this side of the body. And a lefty doesn't have a right hand, he can't do avoda. So the Gemara has an old minig that when we get dressed, we first put on the right shoe, as if putting on your shoes is a mitzvah. Also getting dressed, when you take a shower, you should wash first the right part of your body. Everything you do all day long can be elevated to the level of a mitzvah if you have this in mind. That's b'chol derachecha do'ehu. So that's what the Tanaim say. When a person is eating and he says the reiter in the middle of the eating, he elevates the level of the eating to be a sudas mitzvah. It turns into a mitzvah. Mishnah Beis talks about two people, shnaim sheyoshvu, veim b'neim divreter. It's not talking about eating, just it's going to be a moshav leitzim unless they talk and learning together. There's a famous comment here from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Those who learned in Kerem B'Yavneh must have certainly heard it from Goldwich Zichron Levarach, the Rosh Yeshiva. He would say it over every year. There's a separate sefer, Ruach Chaim, the Ha'oris of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and Pirkei Avos. It wasn't written by Chaim Volozhiner, it was written by one of the grandchildren. So he has a comment on the word Ein Beinayim. Even if you have two people, each one's looking in his own sefer, but they're not talking and learning to each other. each one is mevatel the other one's learning. He learns the Telzer derech, he learns the Brisket derech, and each one doesn't hold from the other one. So that's a bizoyin atayra. You have to have, it should be benem deveter. They should talk and learning together. There is a Gemara in Tainis on Daf Yud on the base, first parak in Tainis, where the Gemara quotes the story from Sefer Melachim. Elio was about to go up to heaven. He was walking with Elisha, and Elio Navi tells Elisha he's going to disappear now. He's not going to be alive anymore. So Elisha requests of him, can he give him Pishnaim Beruchacha? Can you give me a bracha that I should have twice the Koach HaNevuah that you had? The conservative movement interprets that it doesn't mean twice the Koach HaNevuah, Pishnaim, they interpret the Pchor gets Pishnaim. So what does it mean that Pchor gets Pishnaim? So we understand that it means he gets two shares. Let's say if a person has five sons, so you treat the Pchor as if he were two sons. You divide the Yerush into six parts. The Bechor gets 2/6. If he has 10 sons, then you treat the Bechor as if he were 2. So you divide the Yerush into 11 parts, and he gets 2/11. That's what it means, Pishnaim, 2 shares. So the conservative movement had this whole pshetel. They meant that a whole pshetel, that Pishnaim means that he gets 2/3 of the Yerush. And this din, that he gets 2/11 and he gets 2/6, that was a change that the rabbis made in the later generations because he saw it was causing friction. You give the Bechor, you have 10 sons, and you give the Bechor 2/3 of the whole Yerusha, and the other 9 children divide 1/3 among all of the 9 of them, so it's not fair. So the rabbis changed it, so they're rabbis and we're rabbis. So just like the rabbis of old had the right to change all the laws in the Torah because it was causing friction, so we have the right to change all the laws also. Right? That's the whole mahalach. How do they know that Pishnaim means 2/3? So they get it from Elisha HaNavi. What did Elisha ask Eliyahu HaNavi? He wants to have a double portion of Nevuah, twice the Koach HaNevuah of Eliyahu. That's ridiculous. How can a student ask that he wants to have twice the Koach HaNevuah? So obviously he means he requests that he wants to have 2/3 the Koach HaNevuah. But the Gemara doesn't understand like that. The Gemara says Pishnaim means he asks for twice the Koach HaNevuah. And what does it mean, twice the Koach HaNevuah? So the Gemara says Eliyahu HaNavi was only Mechaya one mace, and Elisha was Mechaya two mace. Whole discussion in the Gemara. So the Pasuk says that when Eliyahu HaNavi is telling Elisha he's going to leave this world now, and ask anything of me, and I'll see if I can do it for you. So he asks some Pishnaim Beruchacha, and then a fiery chariot comes down from heaven and goes in between them, separates in between them, and then Eliyahu HaNavi is taken. Then Eliyahu HaNavi tells him, after I disappear from the world, if you will not faint, if you will remain conscious, you won't become unconscious, then your request will be granted. And if you faint, then your request will not be granted. So he didn't faint. All the other B'nai Hanavim, all the other students of Eliyahu HaNavi fainted. And Elisha didn't faint. It's a whole, you have to know pshat and that also. So the Mefarshim explained what that's all about. So the Gemara in Tainus has a comment that if you have two Talmid HaChachamim walking together, they're not talking and learning, they deserve Ru'uyim Lehisarv, they deserve to be burnt. As the story appears in Sefer Melachim, Eliyahu and Elisha were together, and Tosfos on that Gemara in Tainus Daf Yud and Beis writes that they were talking Dvar Mitalim. So because they were talking Dvar Mitalim, they were Ru'uyim Lehisarv. That's why it was a fiery chariot to indicate that they deserved to be burnt. So the Mefarshim asked a question on Tosfos. What do you mean talking, Tosfos quotes a Medrash, they were talking Dvar Mitalim. What talking Dvar Mitalim? They were talking about Ruach HaKodesh. About Nevuah, he wanted to have twice the Koach HaNevuah of Eliyahu HaNavi. Why is that Dvar Mitalim? So they once asked this to Rav Elbel Soloveitchik. So he said, anything that's not Gemara and Tosfos, if it's not learning, is Dvar Mitalim. It can be about Nevuah, Ruach HaKodesh, but it still is not learning Torah. It's still Dvar Mitalim. So that's called Ru'uyim Lehisarv. So that's what the Mishnah tells us, that Shnaim Shem Halchem, Vein Benem Divrei Torah, it's considered a Moshe Avleitzim. Yeah, what is real learning? So the very last Mishnah in this Perek, Perek Gimel, has a famous line that Gematriyos are just parparos lachachma. Some people are always full of Gematriyos. Everything is Arashitavis with the Gematria. So it's a cute thing once in a while. Look, you have, when you have, once in a while, you go to a wedding and then they serve ice cream, a part of ice cream at the end of the meal. Okay, so it's a parparos. But if all day and all night you're going to have ice cream, you're going to be fat like a horse, it's not healthy, it's not nutritious. You have to eat nutritious food once in a while. You want to have sweets, parparos or sweets, mamtakin. You're not supposed to have parparos all the time. The Mishnah says, the last Mishnah says, kinim u'pischei nido. Those are gufei Torah, to know all the boring details of the halacha. When is a woman a nida, when she is other, when she doesn't know, seka derasa luchumra, and you have to consider all the logical possibilities. And Mishnah is kinim, you have to calculate mathematically what are the probabilities, and so on. That's real halacha, even though it's, sometimes it's boring details. Not only lomdashe things, when there's a svara to be developed, is that Talmud Torah, but kinim et pischei nida, is mamish Talmud Torah. But gematrios, we should cut back a little bit on the gematrios. There's the famous Gemara in Maseches Shabbos with a different Tanaim by discussing how did they come to the conclusion that there are 39 Ovis Malachas. So one Tana says it's based on a Gematria. It says, Dvarim HaDvarim El HaDvarim. El HaDvarim Shatzib HaShem Es Moshe. So El Aleph Lamed He is a Gematria of 36, and Dvarim is plural, Miyud Rab Mishnaim, and He HaYudia HaDvarim is a third. So 36 and 3 is 39. That's the 39 Ovis Malachas of the Pnei Yeshua. And that Gemara Shabbos points out that's not a real Yalfusa. You never learn out any dinim from a Gematria. Gematria is a Parparos Lachachm. It's not from the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Ben. It's Vertlach. Parparos Yitevis in Gematria is a Vertlach. But it's not a real, Dvartor. That the Pnei Yeshua there refers you to the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos in the first parak in Nazir. The Gemara has a din, Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom. If a person accepts upon himself Naziris for a week, for 2 weeks, it has to be a minimum of 30 days. If he doesn't say how many days, so Stam Naziris is Shloshim Yom. He can be Mekabel Naziris 40 days, 50 days, 100 days, 5 years, 20 years, whatever he wants. It doesn't have to be in units of months, but it has to be a minimum of 30 days. So how do you know that then the Stam Naziris is Shloshim Yom and that you never have less than 30 days? So the one of the Tanaim says, because the Pasuk says by the Nazir in Parshas Naso, Kadoshi Hiye Gadel Peres Sa'ar Rosho, the word Yihye, Yudhe, Yudhe, is the Gematria of 30. So it sounds like you're really learning out a din from the Gematria, Stam Naziris Shloshim Yom. So the Rambam there in the Pirush HaMishnayos in the first Perek in Nazir says that's not really the Alfus. So the Gemara has a different marker for that din. So we should, I think it's a terrible disservice that a lot of the day schools, when they're teaching young children, they keep on hacking them with Gematrios and Rosh Tevis and too many candies, too many parparas. If you eat too much ice cream, you're going to throw it up. They should teach them real things. Mishnah Yud Dalet is a very famous fundamental Mishnah. Chaviv Adam Shenivir B'Tzelem. Chaviv Nisor Shenikru Banim Lamachim. We believe in God. We believe God created the world. We believe that God created man, that every man, every human being has a Tzelem Alekim. The reason why there's a din of Kavod Abrius, you have to be mechabed all human beings, Jews and non-Jews. The reason why there's a din of Kavod Abrius is because man has Tzelem Alekim. By us, there's significance to human life. Others don't see what's wrong with committing suicide, and what's wrong with murdering other people. It's like crushing an ant on the street. And we feel that human life is something very important. Man was created to tell the Malachim. Most Mepharshim assume that Chaviv Adam goes on all human beings. Chaviv and Yisrael Shenikra, Barim Lamachem, the children have carry over the DNA from the parents. That means a deeper degree of Tzelem Elokim. We mentioned last week that the Kuzari seems to have understood Chaviv Adam, Shenivir B'Tzelem, refers to Adam Arishan. Adam Arishan was created B'Tzelem Elokim, and this Inyan Eloki he only transmitted to one of his sons, Adam Sheis, Enesh, Kenan, Mahalal, Yeret, Chanoch, the opening Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. So each one of these biblical figures only transmitted the Inyan Eloki, the Tzelem Elokim, to one of his children till after 10 generations, Bandayach, 10 generations later was Avram Avinu. So Avram Avinu only had one son, Yitzchak, Kibi Yitzchak, the Koral Chazera. The Tzelem Elikim only went to Yitzchak. Yitzchak had twins, Yaakov and Esav, only Yaakov had. And Yaakov was Mitos HaShleima. From that time on, all the Jewish people are Mitos HaShleima. All the children are Jewish, and all the children have this Tzelem Elikim. But most of the Mepharshim don't understand like that. That's the uniqueness of Bnei Yisrael's Banim Lamakim, the deeper degree of Tzelem Elikim. But to say the Umasalim don't have Tzelem Elikim, the Pashtus is that it's not so. I read recently that there was a time that Rav Baruch Ber visited America to raise money for his yeshiva, and the mayor of New York City honored him, and he gave him the key to the city, and he said in public, this man, Rav Baruch Ber, demonstrates, he disproves Darwin, that Darwin says, that's the way people used to say it, Darwin says that human beings developed from the monkeys. This holy tzaddik, this holy man, Rav Baruch Ber Leibovich, couldn't have come from a monkey. So he disproves the whole Darwin's theory. That's every man has Tzelem Elokim. Bnei Yisrael have a deeper degree. That's called Banim Lamakim. It's very important. Mishneh Ches is usually assumed. Mishneh Ches speaks about the importance of remembering everything that you learn. It's not really mischayv, keila mischayv ben avshim. So Prime Balojan and others say that this insistence on remembering everything that you learn, this is before the Mishnayos and the Talmud Bavli were written down. Now that everything is written down and printed, everything is available, so it's not the oynish is not so great if you forget things. But we're talking in the days of the Tanaim, and nothing was written down, so we're going to forget. Maybe lost, gone forever. So that's why the Mishnah is so makpid that you shouldn't forget. The next Mishnah, Mishnah Tes, tells you a zgula for zikaren. What is a good zgula? So the Mishnah says, Kol she'iris cheto kademis l'chachmasai, chachmasa miskayemis. If the person has yiras shamayim, that will be a zgula for remembering all the chachma that he has. The Gemara says in Shabbos, this is Shabbos in the Lamed, I think, in Bamei Madlikin. The Gemara said this is based on the pasuk in Navi. V'hoya munis itecha chosin shuas chachmas v'das, yiras Hashem hi oitzoroi. So the Gemara says that the six words and the six phrases in the pasuk, munis itecha chosin shuas chachmas v'das, are the six parts of the Torah Shebal Peh. Namely, Zerayim Moed Nashim Nezikin Kachim Taras, and Rabbi Yudan Nasi, who edited the Mishnayos, there were brises floating around that everyone would recite Baal Peh. So he decided what to canonize, what to include in the official text, and he divided all of Torah Shebaal Peh into the six sections. So then the pasuk concludes, Yeres Hashem Hi Oitzaroi, the Oitzer, if you have all of this, let's say you go shopping in the store, and you buy 20 bags of things. How can you carry 20 bags? So you have to, if you have a big shopping bag, if you have a big shopping cart, so you can put everything all together. So a person has a lot of knowledge, a lot of dinim, but what is the base of itzah that he's going to put it into? Yiras Hashem hi oitzara. If he has yiras shamayim, if he rosa kademis l'chachmasai, so then he will, that will be a zgula for zikar. He will be able to remember. Then the Mishnah ends off, Mishnah Tes ends off, not only you have to have ma'isa merubim mechachmasa also. Why do you need ma'isa merubim mechachmasa? The limud haTorah is supposed to be limud almanas la'asos. If a person is loymed, sheloy almanas la'asos, the learning is incomplete. That the ikar mitzvah of limud haTorah is limud almanas la'asos. You have to, the highest level of learning, the Gemara says in Saita, highest level of learning is to learn Lasuki Shmaitza Liba de Hilchasa. Somehow in the Lithuanian yeshivas before the last years before the Second World War, this was discouraged. This was downplayed, the significance of learning Lasuki Shmaitza Aliba de Hilchasa. If they would have someone who would look the din, he would learn the Gemara, he would look it up in Shulchan Aruch, so they would make fun of him. Oh, you're going into the rabbinate. You're learning for smicha. What's wrong? You're learning for smicha. You're going to the rabbinate. What's that? That's considered the highest level of learning. whenever we would learn Gemara, Rav Soloveitchik, we give a whole shiur, and then at the end of the shiur, he would explain. Based on what we learned, the din would be in this case. According to the Rambam, the din is like this. According to Tosafot, the din is like that. According to Rashi, the din is like this. You always have to learn. The Gemara says, in the days of the Tanaim, they had a big debate with the Talmud Gadol, which is more important, Talmud or Maisa, doing mitzvah. So they came to the conclusion after a long discussion, Talmud Gadol, that maybe the day Maisa, that Limud HaTorah, the proper way to learn is to learn in such a way to come to Maskanis, Lasuk Shmaitzah Limud HaHilchus, so the Talmud will lead the person to observe the mitzvahs, and I'll have both. I'll have a Limud, if he's Limud HaManas Lasas, I'll have both the Maisa and the Limud HaTorah. There is a principle that ha'isik b'mitzvah potam and ha'mitzvah, the Gemara, Mishnah, and Sukkah, and the second parak and Sukkah, the Gemara learns that from Psukim. So the Bavli and the Rishonim both say that ha'isik b'mitzvah potam and ha'mitzvah does not apply to Talmud Torah. Even though Talmud Torah is such an important mitzvah, but if a person is learning Torah, he's not potter from eating matzah. He's not potter from davening mincha ma'ariv. Can't just sit and learn and forget about davening and keeping mitzvahs. Why? So the Rishami says, because it'll turn out that the learning is shalei almanas lasais. So that's terrible. So the whole learning is incomplete. The only time you say, ha'isik b'mitzvah, potter b'na mitzvah, if you're busy with mitzvah A, you're potter from fulfilling mitzvah B. But if mitzvah B is an enhancement of mitzvah A, the person is learning whatever, chulin or baba kama, whatever the yeshiva happens to be learning that year. And it's time to daven. So if he's not going to daven, it comes out that his learning is incomplete. The davening is not in competition with the learning. All other mitzvahs are competition with each other. So if he's busy, he's oisik, the mitzvah A is potter from mitzvah B. But doing mitzvahs is never in competition with learning. The learning is amanas lekayim is kol mitzvahs. So you don't apply oisik b'mitzvah potam and amitzvah. Gemara says sometimes it does apply. Gemara says if I'm busy learning, and there's going to be a shevet brachas tonight, and they need, let's say, 20 boys from the yeshiva to go to Brooklyn to dance at the shevet brachas, and they're only taking 20 boys. They're not taking 21. There's only room on the van for 20 people, and that's all they want to pay for. They're having a catered shevet brachas. So if I'll sit and learn, someone else will go. So then it's a mitzvah shev shel hiskayim ha'idechem. Then you say hisik b'mitzvah potter min ha'mitzvah even by Talmud Torah. If I want to learn, then I'm potter from going to the shevet brachas. But if I won't go, there'll only be 19 people going. They won't have the 20 people that they wanted to have. Or if I won't go, the 20 people will go, but it won't be the same simcha as it would have been. I'm a bigger dancer. I crack better jokes. I give a better drusha or whatever it is. It means more to the chassan if I go than if the other people go. So it's a mitzvah, if it's a mitzvah, then you have to do the mitzvah. Then you don't say, I'm busy learning, so I'm potter from going to the shevet. Same thing, let's say, there's a rally for Russian Jewry. There's a rally by the United Nations about something. So they have to have a crowd of people. So let's say there's a van and they're taking so many people. So if you can go by train, you should go by train. But the more people there are, so the stronger the rally is going to be. But let's say it's such a situation, the rally is out of town and you have to go a long distance. And there's only so much room on the van, on the bus. And other people want to go anyway, and it does make a difference. But I'm going to go, someone else is going to go. The newspaper or the police are going to report how many people attended the rally. They're not going to say whether I went or someone else. They're going to say 20,000 people there. So then you say, Ha'isik b'mitzvah, potam ha'mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, she'efshe l'hiskayem, ha'idecherim. Then Ha'isik b'talmud Torah is potter from that mitzvah. But if the mitzvah, the other mitzvah is, he'efshe l'hiskayem, ha'idecherim, I have to eat matzah. I have to daven mincha ma'ariv, or it means more if I attend this shevet brachas and the other people go, then learning Torah doesn't pater me from fulfilling the mitzvah. Mishnah Zion is a beautiful mishnah. All the mishnahs are beautiful. Mishnah Zion has ten lo mishalo, shato v'shalcho shalohu. People have the attitude, this is my hard-earned money, this is my money, I have a right to do whatever I want with my money. That's not true. maybe it is your hard-earned money, but the money is not yours. You should have the attitude as if you are an apotropos on someone else's money, as if the money belongs to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And if you're a good apotropos, he'll give you more money to supervise, to be an apotropos over. And you have to distribute the money. You can't spend the money on a dog hospital in Saudi Arabia. Can't do whatever you don't please with your money. The Torah gives guidelines. You're an apotropos, it's not your money. And they're a kedimas. Which charities come first? And not some people thought, which charities come first? Which check they make out first? That's not what I mean. That's not like you put on the shal yad before the shal rosh. Which mitzvah do you do first? Which charity they give more money to? Who gets more money and who gets less money? So there are rules and regulations in Shulchan Aruch. So that's Tein Lo Mishalo. You should give tzedakah. You should spend your money as if it belongs to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You're an apotropos. Why shal tov is shal cha shalohu? Because your chachma that you have, the ein fal that you have, how to make money, was given to you. Your mind and your chachma was given to you by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your talents. You, with all of your talents, belong to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You're an Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All your whole chachma belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, that when we finish saying all the viduyim on Yom Kippur, so many viduyim, then in the Ila we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of Ne'ila, we add a long piyut at the end of the Tzilu B'lachash, we should all stop stealing. Everybody's stealing. Everybody's stealing. Everybody cheats on income tax. Some people are honest on income tax. Everybody's stealing. So he said, whoever does any of there is stealing, because his body, the body belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the chachma that we have, the talents that we have, the kishrinus. So any money that we earn is really shalom. We should have that attitude that the money that we have, we are apotropsim on. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we're fulfilling the apotropsis properly, he will give us more money to be an apotropos over. So one should be careful about that. Mishnah Tezvav is also Mishnah says, HaKol Tzafui Barushus Nesuna. Rabbi Akiva, there's a medrash that says Rabbi Akiva was giving a drush and he saw that the listeners were dozing off, they were falling asleep. So he said a startling statement. He knew how to hold the interest of the audience, that they shouldn't fall asleep. So here also, the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos on this Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva Tezvav, Mishnah Tezvav, HaKol Tzafui, Rishus Nesuna, he says a startling statement, a contradiction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything in advance before it happens. He knows what's going to happen. He knows the decision that people are going to make. Nonetheless, Rishus Nesuna, everybody has Bechira Chavshas. How can that be? If there's Yediyah, how can there be Bechira? If there's Yediyah in advance, if God knows in advance what we're going to do, how can it possibly be Bechira Chavshas? So the Rambam says it's a good kasha. Kila machshavasai machshavasech melo darchechem derochoy ni'um Hashem. So the Raibit in Hilchas Tshuva, when the Rambam writes that, so the Raibit writes a hasoga on the Rambam, lo noa keminig achachomim. The Rambam poses a kasha in Emunah in Ashkofa. How can you believe in two contradictory principles, that there's Yediyah and Bechira Chavshas? They contradict each other. So the Rambam says, we don't know the answer. So the Raibit Tainus, a Chacham doesn't ask a kasha in Emunah in Hashkofa if he doesn't have a good answer. He's like, no, Keminig HaChachamim, he shouldn't have raised the issue if he doesn't have a good answer. Others interpret that was the answer. The Rambam did give an answer. It's not that he throws his hands up and he says, we don't know the answer. It's not that he says, we don't know the answer. This is the answer. The answer is that the whole kasha is all based on the concept of time. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKol Tzafui, he knows in advance. He knows in advance what decisions I'm going to make. So how can I have Bechira Chavshas if he knew in advance? So the answer is that the whole concept, the Rambam is telling us, the answer is the whole concept of time is only relevant to human beings. Because the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Basar Mamoris Nivra Ha'olam. And then the Gemara says, but it only says Vayomer Elokim 9 times. Where is the 10th Maimer? So the Gemara says, Bereishis Nami Maimer Havi. Bereishis Bor Elokim is also Maimer. What's the Maimer Bereishis? So some interpret that God created time. the concept of time. We can't even imagine, we can imagine an empty world without any people, without any buildings, without any furniture, but there's still time and space. We imagine an empty world, but time is ticking on, and there's a space all over the place. We can't even imagine a world without time and space. But that's only, but time and space are part of the Bria. Kodem Bria Sarum, but there was no time and there was no space. So by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no concept of time. That's when the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Lamayla Min Azman. So it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew in advance, he knew yesterday what decision I'm going to make today. So how can I have Bechiruch HaFshus today if he knew yesterday? This whole idea of yesterday and today, the concept of time, is only relevant for the Nivraim. That's part of the Bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Lamayla Min HaTeva. He's Lamayla Min HaBria. He's not part of the Bria. He's above time. So that's what some interpret, that when the Rambam said, quoted the pasuk, not that he throws his hands up and he says, we can't understand the Elokus, how can we understand the Teretz to the Kashan? No, the Rambam is saying, that is the Teretz to the Kashan. We have also the Mishnah. Mishnah Zion says, Hamafik mi Mishnah, so Rambam no ilan zeh, harezim ischai ben avshet, person is mahalach baderach, walking on the highway, and he's shayna, and he's learning Mishnah, he's learning Torah, and he's mafsik in the middle to say how beautiful. So it says harezem ischai ben avshet. What does that mean? So we have a mitzvah of ahavas Hashem. How does one fulfill a difficult mitzvah? How does one fulfill a mitzvah of ahavas? If you fall in love with a person who's here in front of you, so you know something about the person. You know the milus of the person. Pleasant personality, good looking, whatever, friendly, whatever happens to be. So you form a love. And then we hope that when you get married and every year you learn more about your spouse, so your love will grow. Your love for each other will grow because you learn more about the other person. Well, what do we know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ma'alem ha'stogas b'nei Adam. How can we form a love? How can you develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Tanaim. How do you do that? Because we believe that the Torah is a collection of mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs, but it's something more than that. When you put together all the 613 mitzvahs, it's a description of Elokus, a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the only way to get to understand a glimpse of what Elokus is all about is by learning the Torah. We can't really understand anything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to learn Derech Moshel. You can't really understand the Moshel either. So the Torah, Abchaim V'Lozhen, the Torah is a Moshel of a Moshel of a Moshel. So if you put all the 630 mitzvahs together, so you get a Moshel of a Moshel of what Elokus is all about. So Rashi said that's the way to develop Avos Hashem, to learn the Torah, because the Torah is a description of Elokus, Derech Moshel. That's the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel, Kashayim HaMoshel HaKadmoni, Merishayim Yetzei Rasha. So Rashi HaChumash quotes the Medrash, the Moshel HaKadmoni is the Chumash, Shehu Mishol HaShar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehu Kadmon HaShol Olam. Rashi quotes that Medrash on Parshas Mishpatim, on the pasuk about Golus, where the Kim Ina Liyodai. So the Torah is a mashal akadmani, a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam, when he quotes this mitzvah of Avos Hashem, he says, and how does a person develop Avos Hashem? So the Rambam writes, he should look into the beautiful world, the stars and the sun and the moon and the Bria and the trees and everything and the animals. Such a beautiful world HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. That's the way to develop Avos Hashem. So there are two different ways to develop Avos Hashem. And that's why the Chachamim instituted Hayotze in the month of Nisan, and you see the trees are starting to bud, and the things are starting to grow. So this is special bracha. There are different brachas every day on the wonderful things in the Bria, that we should develop Avos Hashem from looking at the beautiful Bria. So there are two different ways to develop Avos Hashem. They quote from Avelvela Soloveitchik that he thought the Rambam was surprising. Why the Rambam says the way to develop Avos Hashem is for looking at the Bria, but what Rashi said is what it says in the Sifrei on the Pasuk, after Hashem Lakech, v'ayu advarm ha'ela. The thing to lead to Avos Hashem is to learn the Torah. So how does the Rambam say against the Sifrei? But apparently the Rambam has another marker. So this Mishnah seems to be implying that's what some of the Rishonim understand in the Medrash Shmuel on Pirkei Avos. So the Mishnah seems to be saying, true, there are two ways to develop Avos Hashem. One way is through Limud HaTorah, and one way is through Teva. So, but if a person is Holach Baderech, Rishonah, he happens to be learning Mishnah, so he's learning. If he's going to be Mapsik Min Mishnasai, to develop out, to say the brachas on the beautiful trees and to fall in love with the beauty of the world that Hashem created. Hashem made this beautiful world. So that's Mischai ben Avshai. If you're doing the first form of Avos Hashem, if one is able to do that, to learn Torah and develop Avos Hashem through Limud HaTorah, he should stick with that. He shouldn't be mafsik in the middle. When he's not learning Torah, he should develop Avos Hashem by looking at the beauty of the world. Every day the Chachamim introduced the various brachas, and there's an Asech Rivino, Havchenyan, Vein Loila, all the different brachas, to develop Avos Hashem from the whole Teva. Mishnah Vav is an important Mishnah, that when you have 10 people learning, Asher Yoshvim Torah, Shechina Shvui Beinem, Shlosha Yoshvim Yoshvim Torah, Shechina Shvui Beinem, Shnaim, Afilu Echod, the Shechina will be there. What do you mean the Shechina is there? It means the Shechina will help them learn. The Shechina will help them learn. There's a famous Mishnah, Mishnah Yud. Kol Shuroch HaBrius Neuchemenu, Roch HaMokim Neuchemenu. Yeah. Sometimes you have people who are big tzaddikim, Ben Odom LaMokim, and they're sitting and learning all the time, but they're not, they're misfits in society. People don't respect them. They're not Mu'riv and Marbius. They're not friendly with people. So that's not right. A person has to be Roch HaBrius Neuchemenu, and then it'll be Roch HaMokim Neuchemenu. So there was a character in the days of the Amoraim who was very, very learned. His name was Geneva. I don't know how they gave him such a name. Geneva with an Aleph at the end, not a Hey. He was not liked at all. He was arrogant, and he was always giving the other Amoraim a hard time. So the Gemara in Gittin tells a story that he was aggravating the Rabbanim, so they were considering mastering him. He must have cheated on income tax. He probably violated deed in the Machus or something. So they were discussing the possibility of mastering him to the government because of the good the Maisim told him that he did. Probably violated some deed in the Machus. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to master another Jew unless he's a Meitzer or Sarab, unless he's a public menace. But just because he's causing aggravation to individual Jews, you're not allowed to. Meitzos or Abim's allowed to. So the Gemara tells a story. On one occasion, the Amoraim was sitting, two Amoraim, Rav Huna, Rav Chizda, I think, were sitting and talking, and then Geneva started to walk towards them. So they said, one of them said, we ought to stand up because he's much more learned than we are. And the other one said, we should stand up for him. He's such a bal machloikis. He makes a pal gol. He makes such trouble. We can't stand him. So when he finally came close to them, Gemara doesn't say whether they did stand up or they didn't stand up. So the Gemara says, Genevi asked them, what are you learning about? What are you talking and learning about? So they said, they're talking about the Ruchos. So he said, oh, he tells them, he knows everything. He knows everything more than everybody else. So he tells them a mimer about the Ruach Tzon, is about the north wind, the western wind, and so all the different winds. So the Mefarshim ask, it's a lie. They weren't talking about the Ruchas. They were discussing whether they should stand up for him because he's, on the one hand, he's much more learned than they are. On the other hand, he's a Bal Machlekes and nobody likes him. So there's a famous explanation that they give that there are two Girsas in this Mishnah Yud and Perek Gimel. One Girsa has it, Kol Shiruach HaMokam Nochemenu, Ruach HaBrius Nochemenu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes a person because he sits and he learns and he does mitzvahs, then people will like him also. And the girsa that we have is the reverse. Kol shiruach habrius nechemenu, ruach hamakom nechemenu. If a person is ma'uriv and habrius, he's friendly, and people like him, so then we're sure the Rabbanu Shlomo is going to like him also. So that's what some said. That's what they quote, some interpret in the Gemara, that when he came by, so he asked, what are you talking about? So he said, we're talking about ruchas. They meant kol shiruach habrius, ruach hamakom nechemenu, which is the correct girsa. If the correct use is he starts with kol shavach habris nechemenu, this geneva didn't fit the description, and then we're not going to stand up. But if the correct use kol shavach hamakom nechemenu, so Yitaka was very learned, so then maybe they should stand up. And he misunderstood. He thought they're talking about ruchas, about the winds. And he thought that he knew how to learn better than everybody else. So he tells him, oh, he tells him he has a tradition about the northern wind and about the western wind and so on. There's much more in Perek Gimel. We should learn the whole Perek on Shabbos. Everyone should have a good on Shabbos.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.
You too. A good on Shabbos to everybody.
Shikach. Have a good Shabbos.
Good on Shabbos.
Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
Shabbos, Rabbi.